Section A, assets transferred. Here we have to report the market value of any company asset transferred to the director or employee. The general rule of cost applies if the asset sold or transferred was a car or any other asset that had never been used to provide a benefit. However, if the asset was previously provided as a benefit in kind, the cash equivalent is then the higher of the market value of the asset at the date of the transfer or the market value of the asset when first applied as a benefit. And from that is deducted any sums already taxed on the use of the asset as a benefit. The problem area that tends to crop up mostly is the sale of a company car at below market value. Other problems that might occur is where employees are given assets, even items such as company clothing, given them free or below market value. Section B of the P11D deals with payments made on behalf of the employee. Not often completed. Here we should report any payments made by the employer on behalf of the employee and the amount of any tax deductible on notional payments not immediately borne by the director or employee and not made good within 90 days of the receipt of each notional payment. This problem can occur where a director or employee does not have sufficient cash pay to enable the employer to recover the income tax due on, say, the exercise of unapproved share options. PAYE should have been applied to any employment income provided in the form of a cash voucher or readily convertible asset, or vouchers and credit tokens used to acquire such assets, or if they are readily convertible themselves. Section C, vouchers and credit cards. Here we have to report any expense incurred in the provision of vouchers capable of being exchanged for money, goods or services, and any additional expenses incurred in providing the benefit. We should provide details of all expenses and other payments made, but not those in connection with cars which are dealt with under Section F, using credit cards or tokens, excluding amounts reported elsewhere, as, say, entertaining, travel, subsistence, etc. We can exclude the value of any vouchers on which pay-as-you-earn has been operated, perhaps luncheon vouchers, where the excess over the 15 pence a day exempt amount might be put through the payroll. We need to remember that vouchers are liable to Class 1 national insurance contributions unless exempt, and the Class 1 should have been paid by the 19th of April, which of course is already gone. We do not have to report the first £55 per week of any qualifying childcare vouchers provided by the employer. But if the employer provides a higher figure, it is only the excess that we have to report. So for example, £60 a week, we would only report £5 per week, £260 per annum. Next, Section D, living accommodation. It's important to point out, first of all, it's a Class 1A brown box section, but also that there is a working sheet, number 1, which can be used to calculate the cash equivalent of the benefit. There are two charges for living accommodation. The first is the basic charge based on the greater of the annual gross rateable value of the property or the rent paid by the employer, less any rent paid by the employee. The benefit is prorated if the accommodation is only available for part of the year. The second or additional charge is based on properties costing more than £75,000, and that has to include the cost of any improvements. If the cost of the accommodation, including any improvements, exceeds £75,000, the excess is converted into an annual rent charge by multiplying the excess over £75,000 by the official rate of interest at the beginning of the 2009-10 tax year. This was 4.75% on the 6th of April 2009. The value of any exempt job-related accommodation, such as a house or flat occupied by a school caretaker, may be excluded. We have to remember, however, to report other taxable benefits linked to the exempt accommodation. This might be the cost of light and heat, or repair and decoration costs, if met by the employer. Where the occupation of the property is exempt, the payment of the council tax and water rates is not a taxable benefit. Another additional taxable benefit connected to the accommodation would be the provision of furniture or fittings by the employer. These would be taxed under the use of assets rules, which I'll discuss shortly.